This is Pro Football Blitz with former Super Contest winners Brady Cannon and James Salinas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to the Pro Football Blitz. Brady Cannon and James Salinas with you going through the Week 2 card in the NFL, and has reached the point in the program, hour number 2, where we bring in our friends from Circa Sports, and that is Derek Stevens, the owner of the Circa, the Golden Gate, and the D, and his partner Jeffrey Benson, the Sportsbook Operations Manager at Circa Sports. And we want to talk some contests, gentlemen. Welcome back to the program, the Pro Football Blitz here. Jeff, I will start with you. Let's get to the Circa Millions and the consensus top 5 picks for this week.
Yeah, so as we head into week two of the first quarter as well, the top 5 consensus picks in the Circa Million 3 are as follows. The Panthers plus 3.5 versus the New Orleans Saints. That was the number one selection with 1,385 people choosing the Panthers. The Steelers minus 6 versus the hometown Las Vegas Raiders were number 2. We had 1,197 selections there. Working our way down the list. Very popular, the Chiefs minus 3.5 versus the Ravens with 1,187 selections. The Patriots minus 5.5 on the road against the Jets with 1,169 selections. And then last but not least, the Cardinals minus 3.5 at home versus the Minnesota Vikings. That had a total of 1,166 selections. So as you work your way down the list, Panthers, Steelers, Chiefs, Patriots, and the Cardinals, all the consensus top 5 in the Circa Million 3.
All right, James, those are your 5 picks, I take it, I imagine?
I have 40% of those picks, let's put it that way. I have 2 out of the 5, which is what I believe that's what I had last week when it comes to consensus. And we know that you don't always want to be on the side of the consensus, but you also don't need to have all of them, especially this early. We're talking about week 2 not being completely contrarian, and that's not the strategy, at least for me at this point. We're so early into the grind that is the Circa Millions contest and the fun that comes with it. So for me, I have 2 of those selections, Brady. How about you?
I actually have none of those selections, and I'm on the other side of a couple of them as well. So we will see how that works for me. But I got gutsy, and I took a stab with the New York Jets plus 5.5 in your contest, and then I also took the Minnesota Vikings plus 3.5. So I'm on the opposite side of the fourth most popular pick being the New England Patriots, and then the fifth most popular pick being the Arizona Cardinals. The Panthers, weren't they the most popular pick last week too?
Yeah, they were very popular versus the Jets. You know, I think as you work your way here into week 2, you know, you're going to see a lot of overreactions based on, you know, how well teams fared in week 1 and then obviously how, you know, poorly some of these teams looked. So I think that's what you see here in week 2 in terms of, you know, the selection count. Obviously, the Panthers were number 1. You know, that may or may not have something to do with the Saints coaching staff, quite a few of them
sure,
having some COVID. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And, you know, I know you talked about being contrarian and not having that happen early in the season. I think it's certainly interesting to note maybe in, you know, the last week of the quarter, you may see some different picks, you know, as people try to go for those quarterly prizes that you may not see here in week 2.
All right, Mr. Stevens, you're up now. You've got some news about Circa Survivor. We want to go over who the most popular plays are for week 2 in the Circa Survivor contest.
Yeah, a couple things of note here. Like we saw last week, there were 28 teams that were selected, which was a record in Survivor. This week, it kind of follows the same path. There's 19 teams that were selected.
Isn't
again.
Isn't that wild?
It's amazing. It's a very, very diverse diverse selection group. And I thought this week with a couple of these double-digit favorites, I thought there'd be far less. But the way it pans out is this. The number one selection in Circa Survivor is the Cleveland Browns with 1,180 selections. We got the Green Bay Packers coming in second with 778. Tampa Bay, 532 selections. Pittsburgh Steelers at 252. And New England Patriots at 225. Little surprised to see, you know, Ravens up here, Saints up here, Eagles. Oh, one other team worth noting is we did have the football team on Thursday. 60 people survived with the football team, and they got a sweat. They sure got the sweat, but they survived, so they're on to week 3. So the one thing I do want to say about this is, you know, last week on opening week, there were 8 entrants that did not turn their Survivor selections in, which is lousy.
Yeah.
We thought maybe that'd be the high point, but unfortunately, it wasn't. We had 15 entrants did not turn in their Survivor picks today. This is lousy. I
told you to get in before 3 p.m. Pacific, James.
I'm in. That's not an issue. So for somebody like me who's got multiple entries in the contest, I like hearing that news, Derek. Now, for them, obviously, I don't know what you got to do to set your alarm. Wasn't this a common theme last year, week in and week out?
It was.
Had X amount of selections not being put in?
Yeah, it was. It was, James. We had, I think it was the first 12 weeks of the year that this happened. From your perspective, this is probably a good thing. There's no question about it. But really, from my perspective, Jeff's and Circus Sports, we like to get people to get their picks in.
You want people to have fun.
I just feel lousy about somebody not getting the pick in, and then they don't get the value out of it and all that, So I'm going to say it again. This is my public service announcement. If you don't have a proxy, why not buy a proxy? If you own a house, you buy insurance on the house. Well, the proxy's like insurance. If you don't have one out, they'll still sign you up. It's just tough to see that many people didn't turn it in. But again, 15 survivors got knocked out by the lack of entry.
How about people that got knocked out in week one that did turn in picks? You did have some certainly surprise upsets. And I remember the list going through some of the most popular picks last week. You had the Rams and the Buccaneers. Of course, they won. The Panthers were a popular pick. They won. But then you had a number of teams that were very popular, kind of in the upper middle half there. The Patriots, the Tennessee Titans. I'm trying to remember.
Jacksonville.
You had so many underdogs. You had 9 underdogs that won outright last week. So how many people ended up going by the wayside after week one in Survivor?
Yeah, I think today, what are we at, 3397, Jeff?
Started the year with 4,080 entries. Currently, as we work our way into week two, we're at 3397, obviously minus the 15 that didn't submit. But to Derek's point, you got 19 teams selected. You have some people being contrarian and taking the Texans and the Saints and the Ravens. So by virtue of teams playing each other, there's definitely going to be quite a few eliminations this week if some of these big favorites don't win. So, James, you've got about 800 or so less people to compete with in Circa Survivor. Are you able to let us know who you picked in the contest to carry on in week two?
Sure. I've got multiple entries, and I know there's so much game theory. We're looking at that list there, and you're thinking about the Texans. Maybe it's the double option, taking the Texans and the Browns and assuring you're going to move on to week three potentially. I think for me, I'm not doing a whole lot of game theory or strategy early. It's just week two, and I just want to make sure it is what the name is. It's surviving, and that's all I want to do going forward, at least for the first few weeks into this contest. And I did. I have both the Browns as well as the third selection, which is the Bucks, and so I have multiple selections for each of those, and I'm moving forward. Kept all of my selections from last week. All of them move forward to week two. So those are the two teams that I've done various selections with, are the Browns and the Buccaneers.
All right. Best of luck to you, Mr. Salinas. Were you going to say something? I'm sorry, Jeff?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see how many people have taken the Bucks early, given the wrinkle that Mr. Stevens has put in terms of week 18 being a Kansas City or Tampa Bay week in terms of the undefeated bonus prize. And, I think given the Christmas edition and then obviously the additional week to the season, I think maybe you're not going to see as many, people target that undefeated bonus prize. But, it'll certainly be interesting to see how it plays out later in the year.
Jeff, let's get to the action at the counter. Where are you seeing the biggest liability for NFL week two right now?
Like I said, when I mentioned early when we came on, I think you're going to see a lot of people play, these overreactions. A team looks great week one, they're going to come back and bet them in week two. Or conversely, if a team doesn't look good, they're going to come back and fade that team. So, when you look at the top five, obviously the Chiefs have been a massively popular pick across the counter. Obviously that number's up to 4 in a lot of places. And I think that's what you're going to see. Obviously a lot of underdogs won last week, but it'll be interesting to see how the bettors attack it this week.
And Derek, what do you think about your Detroit Lions? They put up a nice effort against the 49ers late in that game, made it very interesting, certainly from a spread perspective. And now they'll take on the Green Bay Packers, who were just abysmal in week one, an absolute no-show. And I think it's kind of interesting. Now this spread is up to 11 or 11 and a half in favor of the Packers. I kind of think the Lions can hang in.
Yeah, we opened at a 10.5. We went to an 11. We're still hanging at 11. I think there's a lot of 11.5s around town. But really what this is an assessment on the Lions. I mean, and you know, you got 30 years, 40 years of history going to Lambeau Field. Lions have not had much success at Lambeau Field over the years. So I think really, really, when you look at the Lions-San Francisco game last week, I don't think the score is really indicative of how San Francisco really took it to them.
Right.
Lions got pretty lucky, a couple of crazy turnovers and flags there at the end. But really, this is an assessment that Lions are not that great. One of the things I'm going to see tomorrow, I'm sure, with the Raiders traveling to the East. You remember, they played Monday night, short week. They got to play an early game in Pittsburgh. I think you're going to see a lot of Steeler money coming in tomorrow, and you're going to see that as probably the most teased game of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the teaser liability on the Seattle Seahawks as well? That looks like a popular teaser play with them laying about 6 or 6.5 points.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the Cardinals looked great against the Titans. Now the Titans go across the country. You know, it's going to be 6, 6.5. Obviously, that's going to be a very popular play in both parlays and teasers.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you again for appearing here on the Pro Football Blitz, updating the consensus picks in both Circa Survivor and Circa Millions. The Carolina Panthers, once again, the most popular selection in the Circa Millions contest, followed by the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Cardinals. And in Circa Survivor, the most popular selections, the Cleveland Browns, the Green Bay Packers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the New England Patriots. You gentlemen enjoy a great weekend, and thanks again for appearing here on VSiN. We'll be right back with more of the Pro Football Blitz. Brady Cannon and James Salinas with you, previewing the Week 2 card in the NFL. We'll be right back.
This is the Pro Football Blitz with Brady Cannon and James Salinas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the Pro Football Blitz. Brady Cannon and James Salinas with you. I am live in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Circa Resort and Casino, and my partner, Mr. Salinas, joining us from Denver, Colorado. And James, of course, let's get to our best bets in this segment. But before we do, I'd like to react a little bit to what Derek and Jeff Benson had to say about the Circa Millions and the Circa Survivor contest. Of course, the Circa Survivor, you've got the Cleveland Browns, the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Green Bay Packers, I thought was a little interesting. Now, yeah, they should win that game, but you know, we were talking about, can the Detroit Lions hang in there? And Derek made the point that, you know, maybe that point spread that was put out was really more reflective of the Lions' inability than the Green Bay Packers. I would agree with that. The San Francisco 49ers absolutely controlled that Week 1 game. But I thought it was a little bit interesting to see the Green Bay Packers up there, one of the top picks in the Circa Survivor contest. What were your reactions? We'll start with the Survivor side of things.
Not surprised we're at the top three, where we're talking about the Packers mixed in as the second overall selection between the Browns and then the Buccaneers. But thinking about the Packers here, I'd consider it, but I just, anytime we're having issues, and I think we saw that play out last week, where all the things that happened with Aaron Rodgers in the offseason, all the speculation, was he going to be there? He didn't want to be there. He wasn't going to report. It's just a big distraction, and I don't want to take teams right now that have question marks about where their mind is, and that we definitely did not see the minds, or really the hearts for that matter, of the Green Bay Packers on that field. It was all on the New Orleans Saints side. So just some questions for me about this Packers team, not only from last week and coming into the season, but going forward. Now, do I think the Lions have the opportunity? You know, they're an 11.5 point underdog. They are an 11-point underdog in the Circa Millions. And can they pull off the upset? Well, if the Packers don't have their mind right, I wouldn't bet the Lions. It's a big money line price, plus 475, or even close to a nickel, depending on where you look. Not going to go that far out here, but as far as the Packers are concerned, just a lot of question marks for me on this team going forward as far as where Aaron Rodgers and the collective mindset of that offense is right now. And then the last piece to this, too, is the big injury on the other side of the defense. Za'Darius Smith not going to play. They're shutting him down for a while. He is one of not only the best pass rushers of the Packers, he is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
Yeah, and he will be out of that game for the Green Bay Packers, as you mentioned. I do think that is a big piece of the puzzle, and I'm with you. I don't think I would take the Detroit Lions on the money line, but we'll get into the breakdown of that game a little further on in the program, and I kind of agree with you that maybe if I had to play that game, I have not, but I think I would probably take the points there, a division game with the Detroit Lions catching better than 11 points as we speak. Let's get to our best bets for the week, Mr. Salinas, and I'll start with one of mine. We'll go back and forth here. I'm going the teaser route again. I was able to hit my teaser last week with the Washington football team teased up to 7, and then the San Francisco 49ers teased down to 1.5. And I've got another 6.2-team teaser this week. I was able to tease the Panthers up to plus 10. That's when they were catching 4 points. They're currently getting 3 points. And I teased the Vikings up to 10.5. That's when they were catching 4.5. Now, I would still play this. Now, you're not hitting that key number of 10. And, you know, we often talk about teasing through the 7 and the 3. I don't think it's against the law, so to speak, to tease into a key number like 10 as well. Now, I don't think it's an awful play teasing the Panthers up to 9 and what would currently be the Vikings up to 9.5 either.
Thinking about the number, you talk about the Panthers teasing up to 10. I think one thing you have to consider is, depending on where you play and what state you're in, lots of different operators, they approach teasers differently. They may have some different juice on the teasers and different rules on the teasers. You want to make sure if it lands on that 10, is that a loss or is that a push? And I think that's something you got to read the fine print with all these different operators, especially here in Colorado, Brady. We have so many operators for us as a bettor's market to be able to choose from, but you got to know what you're getting involved with if you're going to something like a teaser. So in my mind here with the Vikings, yeah, plus the 10, I think this is going to be a very competitive game. I'm with you on that teaser as well. I haven't played the teaser, but I like the Vikings on that side. Just thinking about where the Cardinals are right now, and this kind of fits the mold from week one to week two, or a lot of weeks as the season continues, is one team looks tremendous and the other team looked terrible. And the Vikings looked terrible last week. Got off to a terrible start, committed a false start on the very first possession or the very first snap of the game. They had 12 penalties for 162 yards. 116 yards. 10 of those penalties, Brady, were committed in the first half. So obviously for the Vikings, a lot of things to work through that happened in real time in week one on the road at Cincinnati. But Coach Zimmer, I like to handicap coaches too, and I like Coach Zim. And I think with that defense, the one thing that they did well is third down. That's historically what Coach Zimmer's defenses do. They get off the field on third down. They don't allow teams to be able to move the sticks. They out scheme you, and I think that's where Zimmer will have something for this Cardinals team. I don't know if they win this game outright down there, but as far as the teaser is concerning, either, you like you said, either the 9.5 and or the 10, I like your position.
Well, I appreciate your support. It's always good to be on the same side as you, and one of your best bets is the Panthers catching 3.5 as well. So looks like I've got thumbs up from James Salinas on both the Panthers and the Minnesota Vikings. Let's get to your first best bet, something other than the Panthers there, James.
Thinking about back to the Bears, and we talked about the Bears laying 2.5. I did bet them. They are at home here, home opener in Soldier Field, but a lot of love for the Bengals like we had talked about, and I think it's a little too much love. Now, for thinking about the offense and what that looked like last week for Cincinnati, I don't love the offensive line here, and I'm glad Burrow's a kid I really like. I was glad to see him come out the way that he did in week one. A lot of question marks for me. How healthy was he going to be? Because that was a pretty serious knee injury that he had to recover from, and that was late in the season last year. Ultimately, that game day start, he was 8 months removed from that surgery, so some of those young fellas can heal pretty quickly, Brady, and obviously for Burrow, he did. He played just fine back there, but now you're going to go on the road. And I think this is a different scenario for Cincinnati, having to go on the road, going into Soldier Field. I think you'll see a Bears team that is going to, the way that they played on Sunday night, a lot of things to fix. This is not a team that I love going forward, but I love the spot here for the Chicago Bears, laying the 2.5 at home. There are some significant injuries on the Bengals side in that secondary that I think are key, mainly not only with Trey Waynes being out again this week at the corner position, but also Ricardo Allen, who comes in a lot of nickel sets and allows them to play three safeties in their nickel and be very aggressive at the point of attack, and not only stopping the run, but being aggressive on the interior, playing across the middle. I think that's going to be an impactful loss, not having Ricardo Allen for the Cincinnati Bengals. Hence, I took the Bears under that 3, key number of 3. We know that. Getting the 2 and laying the 2.5, I laid it.
Yeah, I want to make clear on that graphic there that was showing on our screen as well, so we can give James proper credit for his plays. Like we say, every half point matters. He was laying 2.5 with the Bears, getting 3.5 with the Panthers, and also his other best bet, getting 3.5 with the Miami Dolphins. I'll go to my next play, James, and that is another 6-point teaser, a two-team 6-point teaser. I took the Seahawks down to a pick'em and the Browns down to 6.5. And I think what's key there is getting that Browns number down under the 7, under the touchdown there. Now, you and I have both talked about the Cleveland Browns. We expect them to cruise here over the Houston Texans. Are they going to cover the 13.5? I think they have a good chance of doing so. But I'll add a little comfort level and take this one down under a touchdown on the second leg of my teaser.
And for the Browns side, I think that I think if there's one team on the board as far as a big favorite is concerned, I think that's the team that covers that outright. 13.5, 12.5, depending on where you took it during the week. I like the Browns in this matchup. And Houston, I was on them last week, had them as the home dog, plus the 3.5, I think it was, home dog to Jacksonville on the road, being a favorite, just smelled fishy, and obviously it was a one-way street for the Texans. Big order to have to go now on the road and play this Cleveland Browns team that the dog pound is going to be jumping on Sunday for the Cleveland Browns. And I love the way the balance that they have, the running game that they have, as well as setting things up for Baker Mayfield, and continue to watch. Really, it's a work in progress that I want to see from this Cleveland Browns defense. A lot of new faces, a lot of talented faces there. Sometimes it takes a little while to get yourself acclimated to each other, especially in the secondary where they have some new faces there. But I think this is the team on the defensive side for the Browns that will continue to get better, and I don't see a whole lot of threat from Tyrod Taylor and that offense from the Houston Texans really making a game of it. So I like the teaser spot you're in, but I think they actually cover the game outright as well.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm rooting for the Browns. I'm a Browns fan this year. I do have a ticket on them to win the AFC Championship, and that is 7-1 is the number I have there for them to go to the Super Bowl and represent the AFC. Let's get to my last best bet here, James, and this is an absolute hazmat suit. Hold your nose, go to where the stink is, and that is the New York Jets catching 6 points. We talked about this earlier. I made the Patriots a 4.5-point favorite in this game. I think the line's inflated because of all of the storylines surrounding this game. Belichick off of a loss against a first-year head coach, against a rookie quarterback. I think the Jets will bounce back and stay competitive. This is a division game. We talked about the trend, a team that goes 0-6 in division games in 1 year. They come back and cover about 60% of the time against division opponents in the next year. And that's certainly not the reason just for my bet. Trends, you know, can be your friend if they make sense. And I think this one does make sense. But what absolutely scares me about this one is all the injuries on that Jets side, James.
Especially on the offensive line. They were sacked 6 times last week, and now with Becton being out at the left tackle, a lot of shifting going around. That's my biggest concern, so I stayed away from this game.
All right, we will cross our fingers and hope that one comes to fruition. We'll get back into the NFL previews next on the Pro Football Blitz right here at VSiN.
This is the Pro Football Blitz with Brady Cannon and James Salinas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN is now available 24/7 on YouTube TV Sports Plus package. Sign up today at tv.youtube.com to start your free trial. And remember, you can also watch us 24/7 on Fubo TV, Sling, and Xfinity X1. Visit vsin.com to find out all the ways to watch and listen to VSiN. This is the Pro Football Blitz. Brady Cannon and James Salinas with you. A couple former Super Contest winners, James Salinas and Brady Cannon. I don't know if there's any other NFL preview show that can lay that claim, James. I have to say this is probably the number one rated NFL preview show with two former Super Contest winners in the world, correct?
I would assume so, probably because, it, like you said, it's the only one
that's
out there.
It's the only one. All right.
There we go.
But I'm bummed. All right, let's get back into the previews, my friend. The Saints are traveling to Carolina to take on the Panthers, and there's been a lot of discussion about this game all week, and Jeff Benson mentioned it at the top of the hour. It is the most popular pick in the Circa Millions contest, and a lot of that may have to do with the COVID outbreak there with the coaches. I guess a lot of them were vaccinated, so maybe they will be back on the sidelines on Sunday. We'll see how that plays out. And then you also have, you know, what goes up must come down. The Saints were so up in week one? Are they going to come back down to earth? And James, we often talk about a role reversal. And you know, I mentioned trends. Sometimes trends can be your friend. Sometimes they just are absolutely random. I think this one holds some weight, and that's when you go from the role of being a underdog and winning outright and then coming back into the role of a favorite. And that's exactly what the Saints are doing here. Went on the road last week, won outright in Jacksonville, a neutral field, but that was the road. And now they go on the road to Carolina, and they're in the role of the favorite. That is pretty much a dangerous recipe most of the time. I want to say to the tune of about 65% of the time. And you're getting the hook here with the Carolina Panthers at 3.5.
Brady, talk about the road for the Saints. They've been on the road for 3+ weeks living away from New Orleans because of the big hurricane that rolled in. They've been in Fort Worth, Texas, and that's where they've currently been for the last 3 weeks. So, yeah, it's just a lot of road travel, being away from home, the comforts of home. Now, obviously, the comforts of home were having to deal with the hurricane through there, and hopefully everything turned out okay for the players, their families, and the coaching staffs, et cetera. And you mentioned the coaching staff and the COVID issues that went through. I believe there will be 7 coaches that will not be attending this game on Sunday for the New Orleans Saints. And I know for this week, they had practice, but ultimately they were not able to be out there on the field in practice, did a lot of virtual meetings as far as the collective units, the team meetings went. It was all virtual again, just like similar to what so many of teams had to deal with last year. But I think here, there's so many things that set up for me, and that's why I took the Panthers. Actually, I usually don't take games too early in the week, but this one I did. I took them when I found a 4 in favor of the Panthers as an underdog here in that home spoiler roll. Took them at 4. I also took them in the contest plus the 3.5, and I know that's the popular play there in the Circa Millions. But I agree with it. I think this is where, not only from the COVID issues and the distractions that go on, all the travel that was involved for the New Orleans Saints, and yeah, going from the dog to now the favorite on the road, but also the fact that this is a banged up, beat up team. They just added 2 more players to their injured reserve list, which is now sitting at 12. Quan Alexander, starting linebacker, Marcus Davenport, another defensive lineman that starts. They're not going to be playing. Their center is not going to be playing tomorrow. I'm getting carpal tunnel just scrolling through this list of all these injuries that have affected the New Orleans Saints. And credit to them, able to play through that last week. Tremendous game against the Green Bay Packers, but hard. And you knew that was going to be an emotional game for New Orleans. It's exactly what it was. They played their hearts out. Great credit to Sean Payton, his coaching staff. Jameis Winston played a tremendous game, but it's hard to simulate and make that bring the same energy and enthusiasm and passion to the game that you did last week. And I think I love the spot here for the Panthers. Look at their injury report. There is nobody on their injury report. No one's listed as injured for this team. This is as healthy as you're going to see any team rolling into week 2. And the fact you got Christian McCaffrey back for the Panthers. Great game last week. Almost 200 yards, all-purpose yards, rushing and receiving for him. He's fully healthy. Add Hassan Reddick on the other side. Used to play at Temple for coach, and now he's bookends with Brian Burns. Pressured the quarterback last week. I like what we're seeing out of the Panthers. Get him as a home dog, plus 3.5. I'm all about Carolina.
Yeah, I'm with you, James. I did not end up betting this game just straight. I did put them on a teaser leg, as we have discussed, with the Minnesota Vikings, and we'll talk about that game here coming up. But I did, for VSiN's digital publication, Point Spread Weekly, we have a super contest kind of panel where we have 6 guys, Lou Finicaro, Mitch Moss, Matt Eumanns, Dave Tooley, and Jonathan Von Tobel. We all do 5 picks against the spread, and we have to do those on Tuesday. So you mentioned you played the Panthers early in the week. The Panthers absolutely were one of my plays in this week's column early in the week, catching the 4 points. So I don't disagree with you one bit. A lot of things that I think are going against the New Orleans Saints in this situation. The Vikings at the Cardinals, and this is another team that went on the road in the role of an underdog, won outright, and now returns to the role of the favorite, and that being the Arizona Cardinals laying 3.5 points at home to the Minnesota Vikings. I like the Vikings in this spot. You said they played terrible. I think they were a little caught off guard, and it's like we see so often in the NFL. It's really difficult as a road favorite. But I think if you look at this Minnesota Vikings team last year, they have the power on offense to trade scores with this Arizona team. I think maybe this Arizona team had a little bit of an outlier performance in week 1. I don't really know if their defense is actually that good. Is Chandler Jones going to sack the quarterback 5 times again? I doubt it. I think the defensive secondary is actually fairly weak for the Arizona Cardinals. And Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans could not exploit it. But I think Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, I think will get on track. I think Kirk Cousins and his wide receivers, his tight ends, they will find a way to find some holes in that Arizona defense. And you could have a high-scoring game here. I kind of predict that, but I also think it'll be a close one.
Thinking about that, getting that hook too, if you're sitting at 3.5 for the Vikings. I lean towards that side. I didn't play it. We talked about Minnesota last week, especially the penalties. I think that's where it comes to preparation. And they had 12 penalties last week for over 100 yards, 10 penalties in the first half, really put them behind. And then they didn't stop the run very well. And we know there's some injuries to the Vikings, both up front in their front seven that they have. And they gave up 149 yards rushing. And that's kind of that's probably what concerned me the most, is the fact that it is a young defense, especially in this with the safety position. But I like their secondary now. They brought over Peterson as well as Breland. Now Breland got torched a little bit by the young Lamar Chase for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think there's a point of redemption anytime you talk about competitive pride, especially for veterans, somebody like Breland wanting to get back out there, because it's a bounce back spot for sure for Minnesota, because there's a lot of leadership on that team, there's a lot of veterans on that team, and I think not only talk about the veteran, it starts with the coaching staff, Brady, and it starts with Coach Zimmer, and I like Coach Zimmer, and I think he's one that is going to dial up a game plan to be able to try to contain it. It's going to be a tall order, but contain and compete against Kyler Murray. Can he replicate the same game that he did last week? Nowhere else to go but down, because they had such a tremendous game out of Kyler Murray last week offensively. I'm with you. I'm leaning towards the Vikings, but right now some of those injuries just have some concern for me for Minnesota going on the road, so no play for me as of yet.
And you mentioned Patrick Peterson, of course, a former Arizona Cardinal. So he's had this game circled on his schedule, I imagine, for a while. I expect a big performance out of Patrick Peterson for the Minnesota Vikings. All right, let's move to the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you talk about a poor performance. You know, we were talking about the Green Bay Packers. I would have to say Green Bay and the Atlanta Falcons, the two most disappointing, biggest no-show performances of week one. I mean, the Falcons put up 6 points on the board. The Packers put up 3 points on the board. Arthur Smith, in his coaching debut, things did not go too well against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they get the victory over the Dallas Cowboys. You mentioned it earlier in the program. That seems like about a month ago on that Thursday night opening the season. And Tom Brady talked about it on the interview after the game. And he always says, we have a lot of work to do. He was really accurate in this game. That defense got torched by Dak Prescott, and Tampa Bay did not have their best effort. They might have looked pretty good on offense, and they put 30-some points on the board or whatever it was, but they do have a lot of work to do, and I'm sure they'll figure it out. I kind of think this is too many points, James. I wouldn't want to lay 13 here.
And I'm not laying it either for the Bucs. And I think they can name their score if they play for a full 60 minutes. And anytime if I'm considering laying a double-digit favorite in the NFL, is this a great spot for them? Is a redemption factor, whatever it might be? And in this case, it is a divisional game. So, from that matter, yeah, they'll be the focus on your divisional opponent. But for the Bucs, are they going to play for a full 60 minutes here at full throttle? I suspect not. I mean, they're going to be able to name their score, I think. But I think for 60 minutes, they may start to dial things back. You look at the schedule, Brady, and there's a challenging schedule coming up. Maybe some look-aheads going on. Play at the Rams in the following week in week three. Redemption spot for them. That was one of their games that they lost last year, and now this is one of the contenders trying to take away their crown in the NFC are the Rams, followed by a trip back to New England, and you know Tom Brady has that one circled. So just a couple games on the schedule looking ahead for the Bucs that I just am not confident that the Bucs are going to play a full 60 minutes. So for me, I'm staying away from this game. I can't lay that big number.
No, I'm absolutely with you. I think you bring up great points there. Not only is this a divisional game against a team that maybe looks like a cupcake after their performance in week one, but you've got the Patriots and the Rams on deck. So we will see how this goes for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, again, laying a big number, nearly two touchdowns against the Atlanta Falcons. We go to the Pacific Northwest for the Seattle Seahawks and the Tennessee Titans coming up next.
This is the Pro Football Blitz with Brady Cannon and James Salinas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits where the money and ticket percentages are on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. You also get access to the Pro Football Blitz, our new NFL show here on VSiN. James Salinas and Brady Cannon with you covering week two of the NFL card. And James, we have reached the afternoon games. Of course, we talked about Arizona hosting Minnesota. And we've got a couple more West Coast games as well. We go to the Pacific Northwest for the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill, this is an interesting stat here for Tannehill. For about the last year and a half with the Tennessee Titans, he has been, I think, playing above his head. He's been outstanding. Unfortunately for him and the Titans, he hasn't really had a defense to support that effort. They have made the playoffs, but they haven't been able to really advance after that first year when they went all the way to the AFC Championship. But now it seems like it's the time that they will show some regression, and we did see that in week one because they have been to such the mountaintop. It seems like they're going to fall back down a little bit this year, and again, that did play out in week one. But very interesting for Ryan Tannehill. He has played almost his entire career on grass. When he was in college, he was on a grass field. When he went to the Miami Dolphins, he played on grass. And then, of course, with the Tennessee Titans in Nashville, his home field is there on grass. When he goes on the road and plays on turf, he is 13-30, straight up and against the spread, and his touchdown to interception ratio is 31-28. This guy struggles on AstroTurf on the road.
The turf monster, Brady. We hear those terms all the time. At least for somebody who coaches a lot of youth sports and kids out there tripping when we're playing on turf, we call it the turf monster out there that gets them. Maybe that's what it is for Tannehill. There is a turf monster when he goes out. And I think the monster here going to Seattle is going to be that whole Seattle. They're going to be on the road. You're going to have the 12th man back in the stands for Seattle. We know how raucous that stadium can be. This number has moved to 6.5 a number of spots out here in Colorado, Brady. I was so tempted. I wanted to take the number here as far as the dog was concerned, plus the 6.5. I just couldn't get myself there. It's one of those scenarios. Again, the Seahawks look tremendous in credit, thinking about Shane Waldron coming over and now being the new offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. What was that impact going to do for Russell Wilson? And going to be more of a shorter passing game, get the ball out of his hands quicker, more play action plays, more commitment to the run. That's exactly what it was. Russell Wilson, tremendous game last week on the road at Indy. Only threw for 254 yards, but only threw 23 attempts and carved him up for 4 touchdowns passing. And they rushed the ball for 140 yards and were committed to it, running the ball 27 times. That's what Seattle did last week on the road. Now you're going to come back home and it's going to be a great crowd there in Seattle. And for Tennessee, I wanted to take the number, like I said, Brady, but just looking at that defense, they can't stop anybody. They couldn't stop anybody last year. They couldn't put any pressure on the quarterback, and it really affected their secondary as far as coverage is concerned. A lot more deeper shells, and I think for Russell Wilson, he's going to have a field day slinging the football around against this Tennessee team. I don't know how they create any pressure. I don't know how they get off the field on third down. It's going to be a long day for Tennessee. As much as I wanted to take that dog there, Brady, I scratched it off my card, and ultimately right now I've just completely stayed away from this game.
I actually did play the Seattle Seahawks in a couple of different ways. I got them when they were 5.5-point favorites. And then, of course, we talked about in our best segment, I did use them as one leg of a teaser where I teased them down from 6 down to a pick 'em. I'm with you. I don't really want to get involved at 6.5. If I had to, I would still go with the Seahawks. And, you know, we talk about this theory from week one to week two, what goes up must come down. I don't know if the Tennessee Titans will come back up. That performance last week was awful. They only had 3.9 yards per play on offense. And, you know, I think my offseason theory about this team having some regression, at least for one week, it looks like I might have been correct. And I think they're going to struggle again here this week. You talked about Russell Wilson being able to exploit that defense. I think you're going to see that. I think the home field environment will be amazing for the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, I think they looked They looked as advertised against Indianapolis in week one. That looks like the same Seattle team we've seen for a number of years. So I don't know if they really played above their head, and maybe they're not as good as they looked in week one, and maybe Indianapolis isn't as bad as they looked in week one. But for Tennessee, I don't really know how they can keep it close in this game. I think the offense is going to struggle, and I think the defense really has a tough day ahead of them with Russell Wilson slinging it around the yard. Let's look at the other afternoon game, and that'll take place at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, where the Dallas Cowboys, on extra rest, of course, they played that Thursday game to open the season against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They will visit the Los Angeles Chargers, who got a win in week one on the road at Washington against the football team. And another one of those situations. We had so many underdogs that won outright in week one, James. We end up with a lot of those underdogs winning outright that are now in the role of the favorite. And that's exactly where you'll find the Los Angeles Chargers here. For a while, this was 3. It has ticked up to 3.5. The total has seen all kinds of movement. Everybody betting the over the total in this game, James, and it's understandable. You've got Justin Herbert, who, in my mind, is maybe my favorite player to watch in the NFL. I just love watching this kid throw the ball. What an arm. And I think Brandon Staley has done a great job in coaching this kid, and he lets him go. He has almost a green light to make any throw, because I think he's capable of making all the throws. And then on the other side of the ball, we talked about the Dallas Cowboys. I thought they were extremely impressive in that close loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the opener of the 2021 season. They do have some issues across the offensive line. Lyle Collins is out for the game. They get Zach Martin back. Of course, DeMarcus Lawrence has the broken foot. He will not be in this game. Michael Gallup will also not be in the game at wide receiver for Dallas. What's your breakdown of the Chargers hosting Dallas and laying 3.5, James?
Looking at the Chargers, Brady, if there was one team I was really impressed with last week going on the road, and that it's a new offensive line, 4 new starters for the Chargers, and what was that going to look like? Now, they upgraded the offensive line for sure, but it takes time for these guys to start to, especially the communication part on the road, and going into Washington against that defensive front, they kept the jersey clean for Justin Herbert. They were 14 of 19 on third down, kept moving the chains, and really wore Washington down based on total number of plays and time of possession. And you saw that at the end of the game. They were able to grind out basically almost the last 7 minutes of that game with first down after first down. And you talked about Justin Herbert being one of your favorite players to watch here. The kid is not afraid. He steps in there, and he is full of confidence. He's not full of cockiness. It's a big difference between being arrogant and being confident, and he knows that fine line. The kid is not afraid in there, and he can make all the throws, and he's got tremendous wideouts to throw the football to. So I think for the Chargers side, offensively, they should be able to move the football at will, just like they did last week against the Washington team that has one of the better fronts as far as pass rush is concerned. And you mentioned on the Dallas side, DeMarcus Lawrence, their best pass rusher, he's going to be gone for 6 to 8 weeks. He's out, as well as due to COVID, Randy Gregory on the other side, he's not going to be playing this game. So who's going to get any pressure on Justin Herbert here? But I think on the other side, too, we talked about Dak Prescott and how thinking about the injuries that he came back from, not only his ankle, but his shoulder, where he's pretty much shut down for the entirety of the preseason. Didn't look like it affected him at all as far as going on the road against Tampa Bay. Now, granted, Tampa Bay had some injuries to the secondary as that game progressed, and they were able to really target some of those young corners that had to come in as backups, and they got worked pretty good. Now, for the Chargers, better secondary back there. Derwin James finally back healthy. He's a tremendous player when he is fully healthy at the safety position. I'm leaning towards the Chargers here just based on coming back home, looking what that offensive line did last week against Washington. But this might be a spot here. You're sitting at 3.5. I don't know. Is that a spot where we know on the other side with the Cowboys, they can score and they're going to continue to score. They can come back. If you're down 10, does that mean you might get a backdoor cover if they're down? I like the Chargers in this spot, but I'm probably not going to lay that number sitting at 3.5 because I really like where Prescott and that offense is for the Dallas Cowboys, Brady. So right now, no play on either side or this total, which is continuing to climb. Last look, it went from roughly 51 up to 55 in a lot of spots.
Yep, exactly right. And I'm on the exact same page with you, James. If you look at some of the injuries for the Chargers, it's not extensive, but to key players, Nassim Adderley listed as questionable, the safety for the Chargers. Justin Jones, the defensive tackle, is doubtful. Chris Harris Jr., certainly one of their stars in the defensive secondary, he is out. And then also Brian Bulaga, the offensive lineman they brought in from Green Bay, he is going to be out for this game. You talked about how well that offensive line played last week in Washington. And if I could find a three, I would play the Los Angeles Chargers in this game. But that hook is so important there. I think these teams will go toe-to-toe for a while. And I don't necessarily want to bet the under in this game, James. There probably are going to be some points. But I think for now, I'll sit back and watch. I do have a ticket on the Chargers to win the AFC Championship. I think it's at 20-1, so I am a fan of this team. I'm going to sit back and watch and enjoy some more Justin Herbert, see if he can put up another fine performance in his home opener there at SoFi Stadium. When we come back for hour number three, we will talk with Matt Meiselman of DraftKings right here on the Pro Football Blitz.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
Whether you're a novice or a seasoned veteran in the sportsbook, VSiN is here to help you improve your sports betting skills. VSiN has assembled the leading team of insiders and handicappers to analyze EVCappers, 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 to analyze EVCappers.